All right, let's get back into Ephesians chapter 5. And last time we were together, we entered beyond the veil. And praise God, He's allowed us to go beyond the veil. And I believe we were starting to enter into the heart of the readied wife and the heart beginning of her husband. And how glorious. We left off there in the 21st through the 24th verse. We saw that this readied wife, she submits and she lets. And it truly is, brothers and sisters, a complete abandonment of self. Self will always get in the way of surrendering to God. Self will always impede coming boldly to the throne of grace and embracing Him. And taking Him for what He wants us to take Him as. And to apprehend Him. And we saw our need the moment we gave our heart to God, didn't we? Isn't that wonderful, the grace of God? You saw you needed a Savior. I didn't care if we were 5 years old, 50 years old, whatever. Grace visited you. And you said, I need a Savior. Well, don't let it stop there. Don't ever let it stop. Know how much we need Him. And know how much He needs us. And that's that love that comes back and forth, brothers and sisters. It is so marvelous. But if we're ever to be prepared and made ready to be the Lamb's wife, self has got to go. A brother so encouraged my heart this week, and I'm so grateful to God for the saints. But he said, son, think of that Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 5. There she is at the end. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Leaning upon Him, completely dependent upon Him. And my goodness, if we're ever going to want to come up out of this wilderness with Him as our bridegroom, it's going to be a life learning to completely lean upon Him. He's our all sufficiency in everything, period. Period. You have nothing of your own, praise God. He's given us everything in Him. This is a life, brothers and sisters, that we're going to enter in tonight that is arm in arm with the Holy Spirit. And as my brother was encouraging my heart again, he said, and can you imagine how the Holy Spirit takes all the little charms, one charm after another, and He gives them to you all along the way. So I'm so grateful to God that He brings us into that. And then that yielded wife, so perfectly waits and is patient for this wondrous husband. And let's go ahead and read the verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Now, we understand and know this leaning, brothers and sisters, is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but this husband supplies everything to her. And the greatest thing that this husband supplies is love. Love. His love is ours, brothers and sisters. He's freely given us His very love. And the union of joint heirs together with Christ Jesus as man and wife requires really one thing from us. It's actually the working of one thing in us, and that's the maturity of the love of God. It's growing up into us to know it, brothers and sisters, to apprehend it. Brother Copley says it like this. He says, this is no flippant acknowledgement of love. This isn't one who loves today and might love tomorrow. This isn't a love that vacillates from hot to cold. This is the one that knows she is His glory. She does Him good all the days of her life. Amen. Amen. And brothers and sisters, we need to understand this. This is about love. Sure, we disappoint from time to time. We know that. But praise be to God, the blood took care of all of that. Do you understand that? But it's the love. She loveth Him. She adores Him. She wants to see His face. There isn't anything that she wants more than to be fully finished, praise God, with the love of God. Now, Brother Paul went on to say in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he gloried in this spotless, without wrinkle church. He said to these wondrous saints, my joy, my crown. He even called them dearly beloved. Did you know that? Do you remember those things, brothers and sisters? I hope we do. And do we see that this is a fervent love that she possesses for the saints? It's bridal to them as it is to Christ Jesus Himself. Amen. He's the head and she is His glorious body. And we best be in love with one another. Praise the Lord, as He is in love with us. And notice here what it says in verse 26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. Sanctify and cleansing by the washing of the Word. Sanctification is something that's been greatly distorted in many a Christian churches today. And yesterday and for quite some time. Sanctification they'll define as, well, we've got to get rid of every root and branch. Huh? Sanctification, one defining moment. Sanctification began the very moment that you gave your heart to God. And sanctification continues on if you'll walk with the Lord till you see Him face to face. It's the truth, brothers and sisters. It begins at the moment we give our heart to God. It continues as we yield our hearts and our lives to God. Going unto Him without the camp. So many people think, well, I did it. I've done it. Praise be to God. It's over. It's every day. You make that choice every day. The conviction of love needs to grab your heart every day. And that yielding happens every single day. Brother Hill, again, that dear brother, reminded me of Brother Hill talking about the dishes. And I had to go back and think about how he would say that as well, too. But you know how he loved antiques. But he talked about how he went and bought those dishes, if you remember, at one of the department stores. And he said, think of your Father in heaven. He purchased you. With that blood, He bought you. Well, when I bought them dishes, they were mine. They weren't anybody else's. They were too late. Those dishes were mine. They were set apart to me. But He said that they weren't in any ready condition, though, to be used. No. He wasn't going to eat off those dishes. They weren't going to be vessels to be used as of yet, even though He had them. They needed to be cleaned up. They needed to be washed. They needed to be heated. All of those things that God needed to do is the trials, brothers and sisters, that we receive. I want you to turn with me over to 2 Timothy. We'll go over to chapter 2. We'll read just a couple little verses here. And this is what he was referring to. And I appreciate this so much because it is so timely to our study. But in a great house, this is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some of honor, and some to dishonor. But notice, they're in a great house. They're there. Amen, they're there. If a man therefore purge himself from these, and this is talking about the separation, and if you read through here, it talks about the things that God continues. It's unto the Lord, you know that. But if he purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet or readied for the master's use. See, this is just for the master. And prepared unto every good work. See, I want to be a vessel. How about you? Do you remember the definition of vessel? Adds to the usefulness of the husband. That's the definition scripturally of the vessel. Well, let me tell you something. You were not prepared the moment he bought you. To be, in a sense, ready as a useful vessel. It takes time. It does. And this sanctifying, praise God, is lifetime, brothers and sisters. And God is in the process of sanctifying us unto Him. Now, think about these saints here at Ephesus. They were already saved. They were already filled. Titus chapter 3 verse 5, the washing and regeneration had already taken place. So we understand that this is beyond this salvation. And praise be to God, what we're talking about here is the crown of righteousness invitation. This is the exalted rank of righteousness here. The winner of the race encouraging. A life that is willing to go unto the Lord without the camp. A complete separation that leads us standing in all the perfect and complete will of God. Christ in us. Christ in us. Praise God. And Christ in me and Christ in you is the hope of glory. And see, brothers and sisters, when this separation happens inwardly, the outward separation, it'll be manifest. It'll happen. See, we try to get it all backwards, don't we? We're trying from the outside in. I had a dear lady say to me as I was on my trip, and I've known her for quite some time, and my heart hurt. She was talking about someone she loved so much. She said, well, we have to realize that this sin has to be taken out of our lives before God's going to bless us. And I just thought, oh, Lord. But you know, that's how most of God's precious people think about that. Do you realize the moment you gave your heart to God, you're holy and righteous? That sinless perfection's already been taken care of. That's not what he's talking about here. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to know him. He wants you to understand. He wants you, I'm telling you, Sunday, God willing, it's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we're going after wisdom on Sunday morning. And what a precious treasure that is. And how all-encompassing that every word of that scripture is. Sure, they build upon the other, but within each one, they're fully set. Wisdom from the need to wisdom that, oh my goodness, he wants me to be his bride. It's so complete, brothers and sisters. It is so there for us. But the yielding produces the fruit. And it happens from the inside out. Praise God. I've heard many people say, well, you're not, you know, worthy. You're in no condition to come to church. You need to get in condition. You need to come to church. That's what you need. You need the Word of God in your life. You need this washing. Praise the Lord. And it will set you apart. It'll set you in the midst of the throne if you let it. Praise his name, brothers and sisters. It's awesome. And then here in verse 27, it's the ecstasy of it all. Let's read it together. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, brothers and sisters, if you'll just read this verse, instead of trying to put the whole church in what he's talking about here, let me ask you this. If he is talking about the whole church, why does it say that he might present it to himself, a glorious church? Did he save the believers or not? Do you see? Do you see how wrong this would be? If it's just talking about the church as a whole? Read that. That he might present it to himself? Are your sins in the sea of forgetfulness or not? Are your sins as far as the east is from the west or not? Are you holy and righteous because of the blood of Jesus or not? Well, I know every one of those answers, and you do too. So you can see right here that this thing that he's talking about the whole church, this cannot be. Because there's no might about that. Do you see that? There's no might. There's a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Aren't you holy and righteous as a child of the King? You know it. But this is talking about the most holy faith. This is talking about his wife. This is so much more. He's talking to people that already know him as Savior. He's speaking to ones that have a zeal for the things of God, that are full of the Holy Ghost. Wonderful. But this is a message that needs to lay hold of your heart and take hold of your heart. That it's first and foremost. That there isn't even anything that's close to my first love. That I want to win you. I want to see you. Nothing's getting in my way. And it's all by grace. It wasn't anything of me, but grace gave me a vision. And grace gave me a vision to win him. To win him. And this is what he's talking about here, brothers and sisters. And notice here, as it says that he might present it. This is so beautiful in the Greek. It means to be set to his side. To be placed at his side. Now I read this, and I don't know about you, but I can't get anything off my heart except this is the finality of it all, brothers and sisters. This is that wonderful processional where you're walking down and you're at the end of the altar with him, and you're exchanging the wedding vows, and maybe even beyond that, the I do's have already been said, and he's turning you around and making known to all, I'm presenting her. She's at my side. All of you know that I love her. She's my glory. We've got to get with this, brothers and sisters. She is his glory. I was back into the town where I was married. And I remembered that time. And our anniversary is at that time. And my wife got out all the pictures. And I had to act like it was a real chore for me to get down there to look, you know. I didn't want her to get too, you know, complacent or cocky about things. But actually, she knew that I was excited to look at that. I was awful tired that night. But I was looking at those things, at those pictures, and there was one shining thing through all of it. And that was the bride. She's glowing. Every picture, no matter where it was, there she was. Boom, boom, boom. And brothers and sisters, that's the type that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. God help you not to be too self-righteous to not believe that he wants you to take that place. He loves her. I did not want to be in the forefront of that wedding. I didn't want to outshine the glorious bride. And I'm going to tell you something. She is his glory. If you'll read this word for what it is, what God the Father is looking for. And I'm so grateful to God how the Lord has put this on my heart and another brother's heart and so many hearts as well too. You talk about a double portion. Yes, he loves his daughters. But the double portion truly is his daughter-in-law. And it is. He glories in that wonderful woman. He rests that she so loves his son. He takes comfort that they're together. And I'm so blessed in my life that I remember how my dad took such comfort that he knew that my wife loved me. We were very young. I wouldn't recommend getting married that young. But I would also recommend never stopping what the Lord is about to do. And there's a rest. See, God saw it was good there in Hebrews, didn't he? He knew that it was in the hands of his son. He said, it's all yours. And there's going to be a rest that God's going to just take part in someday. And it's happening right now because the Father is seeking, isn't he? The true worshiper. That's going to worship him in spirit and in truth. Can you imagine how he delights? And you here tonight listening to this. And maybe by the grace of God, you getting excited about this. This is real. This is what it is. She is without spot. Or wrinkle. She is clothed alone with his righteousness. See, it's all him. It was his work. We are his workmanship. Huh? She's perfect. There's no blemish in her. She is all together lovely. She feasted alone upon the truth and love. She meditated upon the lovely. Do you see how that can just occupy you? All these things come at us in this world. These things that the devil wants to get us distracted in. Things that we think are so important. Well, I've got to put this in line. I've got to get to this first. I've got to do these things. No, you don't. You want to get married or not? Really? You want to get married or not? This is a jealous lover. He wants your undivided attention. He wants you looking fully in His wonderful face. And when we meditate upon that lovely, that good report, that true, that pure, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you something. You start to edify one another. You do. It just occurs. It happens because of the love of God. You can't stop it. It's poured out to the brethren. She does him good all the days of her life. And what a vessel she is, because she adds to the usefulness of the husband. Brother Copley says it like this. The faith of Christ in us looks above and beyond our imperfection. The faith of the love and the truth of Christ looks beyond our imperfection and beholds only the perfect one. And when we behold Him, when we're looking only to Him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. There's a simple song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word, huh? Why don't we? Why don't we fully just take Him at His word? God, I don't want to complicate this anymore. I don't want to draw back one bit in unbelief. There is a mark. And man, is it a prize. Oh! It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we've been invited. Not just invited. But if we'll just trust Him, He's purposed it in us. It's there. Do you understand that? So, how could it be? Well, it's called the grace of God. And when He said, I blessed you with all spiritual heavens, all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, He did just that. So, how about more than just faith for justification? How about time for faith for glorification? How about quit reading, well, they'll be glorified together with Him? And how about beginning to rejoice and sing and shout? I'm going to be glorified together with you. Praise God, I see Christ in me there. I see Christ in you there. The hope of all eternity. This good stuff. There's nothing better. There just isn't. You may think it. But I'm trusting God to just knock your socks off. But brothers and sisters, it's ours if we'll embrace the truth of grace. I was thinking of that. The truth of grace. Yeah. The truth of grace. The message of grace. Everyone, it says in 1 John 3:3, everyone that hath this hope set on him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What hope do you have set upon you? Do you have the hope of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? He'll get it done. He'll get it done. Hallelujah, He'll finish that. It's faith, brothers and sisters. It's not works. It's not. You know, we know that, But that's got to be all let go. Those are those weights. That's that sin that so easily besets us. That's my unbelief, thinking that I've got to bring something to this. And there isn't anything. I had to go back and read about Esther again. I just had to read her story. She knew nothing. But she took instruction. That's the one thing she knew. She knew she needed a whole lot of help. She knew nothing about it. But she'd heard that there was an opening. That there was an opening right at the side of the king. And that the king was so gracious that he had a chamberlain that he'd sent. And if she would just be still and take everything that that chamberlain, that the Holy Spirit would give her. And she was told, but I'm sure she didn't in a lot of ways believe it. But then there were circumstances and situations, you know what? That even beyond herself, beyond her want, she had to go out there. She had to get before the king. She thought she was going just for that reason, to save the Jews. Grace was putting her there to be selected and chosen by the king, to ravish his heart. I'm seeing things. Oh, hallelujah. We're seeing things. But brothers and sisters, it is faith that will set us in the midst of the throne, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Full of the Spirit. There's no better place than to be full of the Spirit. Well, what place is that? Everywhere I go. I just want to be full of the Spirit. And then it's that place, isn't it? Amen? Work. Doesn't just have to be at Bible study. Doesn't have to just be Sunday morning. Got some dear ones out of town. Doesn't even have to be in Denver. Can you imagine that? Oh, hallelujah. The state of being full of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. But brothers and sisters, this is walking step in glory. See, again, it's been on my heart, and I know Brother Joe had preached on it the other night, and I'm so grateful to God. The Holy Spirit knows what He's doing. My heart hurts for those that are just caught in kingdom teaching. You'll miss out on God's best. All that good that you want to just occupy yourself with, going out there and saving the masses, and we're going to do this, and we're going to build that. Well, there's some good to it. I'm not going to say that there isn't. But this is about God's best. Well, I want to please the Father. Well, do you really want to please the Father? How about giving Him a double portion? Huh? Yeah, He is. He's looking for a daughter-in-law. I love it. Get with it. Get out of your stinking self-righteousness, huh? Quit being complacent. That's really what it is. Don't be lazy about the things of God. Don't say, well, you know, that isn't for me. It is for you. I would that all men be saved and come to the knowledge, the full knowledge, complete, exact, intimate knowledge of the truth. That's the Word of God. You can't pick and choose this. It doesn't work that way. I'm so grateful. I am so grateful to the Lord and His grace that encourages us to go on. Feasting upon the meat and the worshiping of Him in spirit and in truth. And in that, brothers and sisters, the fruit will blossom out of us. The love of Christ in you and the love to the brethren. And we'll move along, verse 28 and 29. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, he loves the body and cherishes it as himself. I mentioned earlier about Paul to the dearly beloved saints. Think about that. I mean, that's some talk there. Dearly beloved. Do you know that that wasn't just for that time? It's for now. It's the wedlock talk. It is. Hallelujah. Whether he was speaking, and think about this too, going back and just having him sing to me, whether it was the church at Rome, or even those at Corinth that wanted to hear it, or the ones at Ephesus, they were his dearly beloved. And why were they his dearly beloved? Because he loved them as the bridegroom himself. He did. It was passion. Passion for the body of the bride of Christ. We will not make up that wondrous rank, brothers and sisters, without that passion one for another. It won't happen. It won't. He knew this was the dwelling together. Just think, David, he got to sing about it, didn't he? He'd sing about it. He knew there was something there. He loved to dance before the Lord. But to really settle down in marriage, to dwell together as in marriage, that's for this time. This is what God is encouraging, this fellowship that He wants. And isn't it precious? As we go out and we meet these saints, and I remember meeting Sister Bannister for the first time. And I just got a visit with her briefly, and we looked at one another like I just knew you all my life. Just loved you all my life. It's bridal love. It transcends everything. Yeah, there's times we say, well, I'd like to know about you, I'd like to know about this. No. And I don't mean that just because I don't want to. I know the real you. Then you know the real me. And isn't that just awesome? The forever. And by the grace of God, the very body of the bride that's going to marry Jesus Christ. My goodness. He was going by grace, entering into the holy matrimony with them in Christ. You cannot love Christ as bridegroom without loving those that love His appearing as the bridegroom. Did you hear that? I hear it often. I don't need to go fellowship. I already know that message. No, you don't know that message. You've heard that message. You may have read that message. But you don't know that message. You don't. Listen to what verse 30 says. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, we are one in Him, aren't we? Amen. We're one in Him. And I'm sitting here as I was just meditating with the Lord, thinking about looking at ones tonight that potentially will make up the body of the bride of Christ. How often do you think about that as we gather ourselves together? Now, I know we're the family of God, don't get me wrong. You're saved here tonight, you're family of God, wonderful. But you walk into this place thinking, man, I'm entering into potentially the very glory of God. I'm just telling you, it is what it is. I pray I'd never come into this place begrudgingly, copping any type of attitude. I still want you here, even if you have one tonight. More importantly, God wants you here. But the privilege. You know folks that love the Lord like this that are not here, that would love to be in this fellowship. And here you are in this fellowship. My goodness. The Shulamite with the dove's eyes, the lips of scarlet, the comely speech. Can we really say one to another, you ravish my heart? Do you get it? I praise God we get this. Do we ravish one another's hearts? Really? By the grace of God, you do. By the grace of God, wouldn't be here. There's something that is so beyond that we know and we come and rejoice. till we all come? Do you want it for me as much as as for yourself? Brother Paul said he loved those Jews, didn't he? I give my life. Not making up things here. I'm just giving you the Word of God. I want to be readied. How about you? I want to withhold nothing. Nothing. I know it's God that's going to fully finish and fully furnish you. But if I would be so used that I could rejoice with you and you rejoice with me, and that we could call each other our joy, my crown, my dearly beloved. And if we're not, we're missing it. We've missed it. This wasn't just for this day. It's not just for this half of the church, you know. The first four pews. Nope. He's brought us into this. I told you there was something here tonight. Didn't know. Well, I won't say that. But do we long to be in the presence and in fellowship with the ones, by the grace of God, that potentially will be there, not as guests, but right there in the altar? Huh? And you know, most of God's precious people are sleeping right through this. You know that. I read this anymore, and the Holy Spirit brings out on every page that same story. Well, there it is again, Lord. And there it is again. And there it is again. Aren't you glad? How could this story ever grow old, huh? We'll wrap it up, 31 through 33. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Now, we got to go back and just mention this again. What is a great mystery if this was just about being married? Being married is not a great mystery. Being married is very well known. And you're not going to giggle and get myself in trouble. My wife did come back with me from Texas. What is the great mystery about salvation? That altar was there from the very beginning. It was going to be the blood, wasn't it? Praise God. Amen. Thank God that's been made known. So, this is a great mystery. Do you see, if you just read it for what it is, you have to work to distort it. Do you not? Come on now. Oh, this is talking about the church. Well, if this is talking about the church, then there's no eternal security in this. There's no nothing, is it? It's a might and a maybe. Know it. Isn't it exciting? This isn't us proving anything. This is just the Lord. He proves Himself over and over. He proves Himself faithful. Always. He's true. He cannot lie. And His word is true. So for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. A mystery from the very beginning, but now made fully known unto us. Praise the Lord. I appreciate Daniel. I glory in what he saw, but I would not trade places with that brother. I'm living in a time of awe. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Father, as we know, and we'll just briefly mention this, the Father, God the Father, knew it was not good for man to live alone. Amen. He needed a wife. And we understand that even from then, it was a type for the Son of Man, His wonderful Son, Jesus Christ. A deep sleep fell upon Adam. A deep sleep is falling upon the church. And out of the church will come the rib, the portion closest to the heart, the side, see, that's the rib, who was pierced with him upon the cross. If you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. Huh? Joint heirs, if so be that you suffer with me. But you also shall be glorified together with me. Isn't that wonderful? Don't be ashamed to be glorified together with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, I've heard people, you best not say that. What do you mean? That bride will be his equal in love. It is what it is. She descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. Now he's the light of it, but she's the glory. I understand that your mind and mine has just left the room. But my mind has nothing to do or say or anything about the Word of God. Amen? It's faith. It's faith. And let's just discern these things by the grace of God and rightfully divide the truth. And here it is. Here is the bride, the Lamb's wife. He cherishes us. We know that. Not only touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but you got to think this. He left the Father. He left so that we would be joined with Him in bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And praise be to God, this wife, she embraces the message of the highest offering of grace. How much grace do you want? Huh? It's endless in supply, isn't it? And we'll never exhaust it, even in the ages to come. It's going to be the exceeding riches of His grace to show us in His kindness. I just can't imagine. And as I get in here again, and I've been fighting this all night long, Lord, if I could only say it better. And I know it's Him that's saying it. But then I just remember my sweet mother, and only a mother could say things like this. Well, honey, if you could say it any better, our bodies probably couldn't contain it. So I'll just leave it with that, maybe for a glorified body someday. But this is one that will be one with Him. She doth arise as the fair one. She has received all the grooming of the chamberlain Haggai. She now by grace through faith goes to stand before Him, clothed in His righteousness alone. She has completely leaned upon Him. And she's coming out of the wilderness. And His heart is ravished. She is the one that wins and receives the prize. The sun glory is completely manifest in her. Christ in me is the hope of glory is manifest in her. She has fought the good fight and kept the faith and finished the course. And she proclaims by grace, I am now ready to be offered. Ready. I believe there's hearts. I'm not trying to false encourage you. I believe there's hearts that are starting to grow in that in here this evening. Lord, what Your grace is doing. My heart's aching. There's a groaning going on. Getting ready to be offered. The crown of righteousness. Could you imagine to say it's mine? The mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've apprehended. Not now. But I press. Because of the grace of God. And all I can do tonight is rejoice with you. And say thank you, Jesus. Oh. It's the only word I got. It's only the word, the Holy Spirit, in all thankfulness, gratitude, that we love Your appearing. That we love You. You alone. Christ, my prize. Praise the Lord. Let's stand and be dismissed.